What's this show? Is this a show? Or
it's a show-ish thing.
Something new, you know? It's not stuck in some sort of prefabricated niche. We're creating something.
What do you think it is? It is what you think it is.
I think it's a show.
It's kind of a show?
I think so.
All right, put the word out.
All right, somebody's making a buzz noise. That's okay. Oh, I gotta go for a second. I don't have my list. So, talk about Pete Seeger and what a great American he was.
So, you know, he's one of these, like, tough guys. We sing If I Had a Hammer.
Which one? Let me look up the lyrics.
Here. Yeah, me too. Okay.
But you'll know when you hear it.
What?
Everyone look up that song.
Yeah, we'll
Hammer Town.
La 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 la.
Me. Okay, Mike, we're waiting for you. A one and a two. Oh, sure, he has this great idea, and then he runs out on us.
I'm right here.
Okay, well,
right.
When are you getting started at?
Who did you hear, Pete Seeger? You're singing in the bus?
No.
No. Count it in, Fredericks.
Excuse me?
Voice cancellation canceled Pete Seeger.
Somebody count it off.
One. Two.
That's right. Peter.
Three. Yeah. Go.
Hammer Town.
You guys don't know this song at all.
That was good.
Now you're right.
We don't.
I don't.
I sang it for my teachers when I was five. But
right, yeah. It was a big song.
Big song.
Let's do Paul McCartney next week.
All right. Which song?
His new song.
No.
The song's new.
No.
Yeah, new. It's really good.
I haven't listened to it yet, but I don't want to do that.
Gotta check it out.
That the song he did on the Grammys?
I think so.
It's that was a more recent one.
Now, is he an official member of Nirvana now?
I think he might be.
I didn't think he was doing anything else. But I kind of lost interest after Band on the Run, so I have to confess to that.
That's sad.
Yeah, that was when Nirvana fell apart.
Hello?
I'm back.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, who was that?
This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. You sound great.
Do I really? Because I have no experience with this laptop, and I don't trust the microphone, so I'm a mess.
I'd start trusting it right now.
Okay. Sounds crystal.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's a little muffled, but there's a lot of other people making kind of crackly noises.
Okay. Have you hooked up with Mike yet? Why is there a weird picture of me? I don't look like this. It's not me. Someone decided what I look like.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Okay.
I'm saying hi to the other Sarah, but hi to you too.
Oh, the other. So there's another Sarah. Okay.
Yeah, that's Sarah Skelton.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Sarah Skelton.
Hi. What's up?
Hi, Sarah Skelton.
Oh, this is really upsetting. What's that about Pete Seeger?
I can't hear Pete Seeger. He's dead.
Uh-oh.
And you are all being recorded, by the way.
Hello? How many people do we have in here now?
We can do a head count from left to right.
God, this is weird.
I think you can only do like 12 or...
You said 24. How come you cut it in half, Kat?
24. I'm not the one who said it originally.
I think it's... We had more than 30 people in here last week.
Oh, okay. I haven't sketched in a while. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right, Mike and Fredericks, I'm going to go have a good show, but if there's an emergency, let me know, okay?
All right, pal. Thanks again.
Hey, guys. I can't wait to hear it on your wherever you put this out on.
Okay. Fredericks, my thing.
Woo.
Woo.
Believe Tom Sharpling stopped in to visit us in our latest episode. Give a listen.
Can you feel the tension?
Here we go.
Hi, Tom.
Getting a nice bluish hue. Getting ready to take him to the farmer's market.
See, he can't speak on the air until the real show gets started, so this is the way he's getting his fix.
Nothing is over. Nothing is over until we decide it is.
Was that?
Nothing is over. I'm gonna keep trying. If you guys keep trying,
okay.
Mike, there's a question for you in the chat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all dying to know.
When did I come up with the idea? The idea for the best show. Yeah, well, that's a lot of people get confused about that because I wasn't involved until, you know, the middle of the show's run. But, yeah, I was actually there from the beginning, behind the scenes. I even selected some of the previous call screeners, but they didn't work out too well.
Do you have puppy dogs?
Tom, have you been watching True Detective, Tom?
Your questions have to stay more general. It's like the magic eight ball.
Ask him a question, Frederick.
When are we going to get a show, Tom? I'm carried away.
Now you can all listen to me blowing my nose.
Okay. Come on.
I was very discreet. Sometimes I really don't, but you know, this time I failed.
So somebody wishes they had a soundboard and they just have to keep playing things on the iTunes and talking about Tom Sharpling. Tom, come on.
God, leave him alone.
Maybe I can draw him out by talking about American Hustle.
Did he see it?
Yeah, he's got a very strong opinion. Oh. We're very,
well, it doesn't matter if he's seen it. It's just a matter of if he has sounds available from it. Or that.
Sounds from something. Sounds from Tom Sharpling.
Fish heads. Fish heads. Fish heads.
Turn it up fish, a little.
Fish heads.
Excellent.
Them up young.
Tom, please.
Was that from the movie, Mike?
No, that was not from the movie.
Oh, okay.
City of my birth.
How long before we get to spring break?
Chris Hardwick.
Does anybody else have some favorite movies of the year, or am I missing anything?
I saw
Mike.
Where the World Ends.
That was good.
That was fun. You know.
I didn't see that. Who's in that?
It's by the Shaun of the Dead guys.
Oh, that movie. Yeah, yeah. No, I haven't seen that yet.
One self-lubricating catheter, one polished eyelid catheter, and a size catheter. It doesn't smell, it doesn't burn, it is greasy. I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin.
I think he's gone. The movie's nominated for Best Picture, and I go with American Hustle.
That's your favorite, or?
Yeah, that was the favorite movie of the movie. I don't think I've seen them all. I mean, I've seen the bigger one.
I think you drew them out, Mike.
Yeah.
So what was it about, basically, Mike, for what? Those of us that haven't seen it? American Hustle.
American Hustle?
Yeah. Is it about cocaine?
It was about Abscam. Do you remember that?
Yes. When the senators were taking money from what they thought were Arab power brokers, or
exactly,
okay.
Yeah,
okay, yep,
yeah, and you know, there's a New Jersey connection. You know, the mayor of Camden and other Jersey politicians went down as a result. But I just thought it was a really good movie. I mean, you could tell it's like very much like Goodfellas. There's sort of a similar vibe to it, you know, with the pop music at the time, and then, you know.
Yeah, when was that, like 75, 74?
No, it was actually, I think, like 78, 79 in there.
Oh, okay.
A little later, yeah.
And what was that main character, the main politician's name?
I can't think of his name. It was the mayor of Camden was the one featured in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the main one. No, it was a really good movie. I've seen Captain Phillips. It's okay. Just an okay movie. I think if you make an okay movie now, it's like, it's great. It's considered a great movie. I saw 12 Years a Slave. I don't know about slavery movies. I guess I just, you know, there's not a lot to enjoy with a slavery movie. It tries to be authentic, but when it tries to be authentic, you're generally repulsed. You know, so you're sitting here just squirming with all the torture and the humiliation. So it's not an enjoyable experience, you know? So, yeah, okay, they made a really sort of accurate, I guess, depiction of this story. That it ends on a good note. But the whole movie itself is pretty grueling.
Well,
but it's not just homemade desserts, but recipes can be complicated and take so long to make. Hi, Kathy Mitchell here with my new Dunkin' cookbook.
Tom, please.
Was that from the movie, Mike?
No, that was not from the movie.
Oh, okay.
City of my birth.
Am I missing anything?
I saw Mike. End of the World.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
One self-lubricating catheter, one polished eyelet catheter, and a travel-sized catheter. It doesn't smell, it doesn't burn, it isn't greasy.
Last week when I thanked Tom for joining this Skype thing, he denied that he was on here.
Got a good giggle.
Oh, man, I'll make a loop of that.
Yeah. My boyfriend tells me I sound like Diane from Cheers when I laugh.
I have not watched Cheers in a long time, so I...
Do it. It's amazing.
Does it still hold up, really? I remember that.
It really does. I've watched it like 3 times in the last several years. I love it.
Mork and Mindy, did that hold up?
I don't know. I have no idea, honestly.
I can't imagine that it really holds up.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it was any good to begin with.
I enjoyed it when it was first released.
I remember enjoying it.
Yeah.
Robin Williams was
quite remarkable on it in my memory, but I haven't seen it since it was on the air, so, you know.
Yeah, that isn't one that made the... Oh, wait, Joe C. says it doesn't hold up. He must have gone back and revisited it. Don't want to ruin it.
All right, we have a final verdict.
All right, thanks, Joe. We will not be going back to the organ.
You actually have, like, are you a no television person? I mean, do you even have...
I have a TV, yeah. I got to play my, Netflix movies and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But you're snooty about television, Frederick.
Yeah.
You are. You're a snob when it comes to television.
TV makes me nervous. I believe it's way more powerful than people realize. You know, when it's to the point where it can control what's going to be the conversation the next day, it's having a great influence on people's consciousness.
Of course it is. All screens are. So is the internet. It's the same thing.
What do you watch on Netflix?
Movies.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, you have that option on television, cable television. I mean,
I don't have cable either.
Turner Classic Movies.
I don't have cable. Never had it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. No. And it's not because I think that I'm superior than it. It's that I know that it'll get me like it gets everybody else, and I don't want to be gotten.
We're all gotten, Frederick. Come on, you're giving yourself a gift if you're not gotten.
Well, I've not gotten as much. I probably got. Yeah.
Yeah.
Different fragile psyche.
Yeah. No, and plus I think it's fun to be standing outside, and it's interesting because I can still know what the main memes are and stuff, and I know who Bill O'Reilly is, even though I never watched one of his TV shows or anything, but... You know, I don't...
You're better off.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel about most of the stuff. I mean, I love The Simpsons. I love The Simpsons, and I recorded a whole bunch of their shows because I thought there's no way this show's going to stay on the air, and now it's still on the air, so I was wrong, and I got a bunch of...
Should have gone off the air years ago.
Right.
You still have your S tapes, Fredericks? Do you still have all your tapes?
Yes, I do. And I used to record stuff like sessions on West 54th Street and stuff. Those programs that David Byrne used to host on Channel 3, the music program. But I really am a music person. That's my bat and, you know, like talk shows. Not conservative ones, but, you know, where there's conversations and things. And that's why I love podcasts so much.
Fredericks, how did you discover the best show? I've kind of wondered that before.
How did I discover the best show? That's a wonderful question. Well, I used to go to FMU to, what was the professor's program called? Soundtrack?
Professor Dum Dum?
No, The Professor. And he used a radio sound check or something like that, and he used to have like old Bob Lasseter programs and stuff like that. And that's when I first went to FMU. And then when Clay Pigeon moved to FMU, I started listening to that. And then I was just going through and I saw a show that called itself The Best Show on FMU. I said, oh, that's interestingly arrogant. And then I listened to In the Archives, the show where Ted Leo and the Callers wrote a song, and that had me hooked after that. I said, my God, this is exactly what I've been looking for. Miss Mellis?
Yeah. I beat Tom Sharpling once, and that really...
Oh, that's
not unreasonably upset.
Yeah, me. I think that's it, sir. Exactly. I think he filled in and pretended to be Tom, and Tom did not like that.
Oh. Yeah.
I think it was in 2002. Did that work?
Who filled in and pretended to be Tom? I'm sorry.
This guy, Professor Dum Dum Fredericks, he's actually from your neck of the woods, and he's a heavy metal guy, and Tom didn't like.
Yes, I have listened to a little bit of that show.
He does movies.
But that I don't think that's the same professor. I'm going to try and look it up.
It is a different professor.
Okay.
That was a different show. And he used to play, like, old air checks and stuff like that.
Yeah, and he was...
Am I coming through?
Yeah, who is this?
I can't even tell.
Is this Yad?
Hi, it's Stan. No, I'm Polk, 90210. It's Stan.
Oh, you sound great for an iPhone. And Sarah, for a long-time listener, it's really cool to hear you.
Oh, well, shucks. I think that's the appropriate response to that kind of comment. Shucks.
Okay.
Wowie zowie.
We enjoy this.
Frederick, could you just backtrack for 1 second? Because I was getting a lot of interference. How did you land on The Best Show, where the point where you're like, oh, I'm going to start calling this?
It was after a couple of shows, and he said, get off my phone, and hung up on people. because that's what Bob Lasseter used to say. And I kind of felt like I had found Bob Lasseter, you know, a younger Bob Lasseter that played more music than Bob Lasseter did, and music closer to my taste. And I was just very happy. And then I realized that Tom really wasn't like Bob Lasseter. He did not have any more of an agenda than to be entertaining. You know, he had his opinions, but his opinions could change if it would make the call be funnier, you know. And I admired that, and I thought it was fun. And I said, I'd like to be a part of this. And that was it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it all goes back to Bob Lasseter and the professor and Clay Pigeon.
Okay.
They're the best show. And Ted Leo.
Okay, all right. All right.
But I was looking.
Do you remember what you would be saying at first when you called in? I remember your original call being pretty wild. Like, you came up really just out of a strong personality.
Yeah. Sort of thing, but what are you going to do? You know, that's what happens when you play the game.
Did Tom peg you as a smoker right from the get-go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, he was pretty rude to me. Told me I probably stink. What do your fingers smell like?
Never guessed that I was a smoker.
I've already forgotten the name of the... Who was the other smoker that was calling?
No Smoking Joe.
Oh, yeah, No Smoking Joe, yes.
No, he really wasn't a smoker. He was a fake, a fraud.
Well, yeah, he faked the fact that he said he was quitting.
Yeah, and see, I could have gone that cheap route, but I didn't.
And you wonder if he did it just to prolong his sort of prominence as a caller, you know? Was that part of the reason behind his deception?
Oh, it got him a whole lot of attention.
It did, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Was that his original plan or, you know? But then he felt guilty enough that he had to make the confession.
Years later.
Yeah, but he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to humiliate himself like that.
True.
You know, it's curious to me when people will tell the truth about themselves and really kind of humiliate themselves. You know, he didn't have to do that. I'll give an example. There's a bartender at Masses. I gotta get at least one Masses story, you know.
At least one, Mike. I was checking out on the list there. Okay.
One of my coworkers, he's a good guy, but he, you know, like a lot of people in there, they have a serious drinking problem. And you know, I tried to talk to him about cutting back and, you know, trying to stop, you know, because he's really sort of on a road to harming himself. You know, he's a little older than me. And I'm pretty sure he drinks every day. You know, he's drinking, like, many beers. And a lot of times when he works there, he'll, you know, he works the night shift. So he's there late, you know, after 3 o'clock. And, you know, he's got things to do after he closes. And then, you know, it's late. And a lot of times, literally, you know, he's drinking during his entire shift. So he's pretty intoxicated by that point, too. And he'll fall asleep on his stool, which isn't very easy. These stools are, you know, hard. They're not very comfortable. But he's managed to, you know, find a way to fall asleep when he works on the stool. He literally lives upstairs. It's not like he has far to go. It's not like, you know, he's sleeping off.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Somebody keeps rubbing something against their microphone. Oh, it stopped.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Okay. Mike, are you rubbing your bristly chin on the mic? Are you getting too close?
Oh, me? No, it's about 2 feet from my mouth.
Well, get a little closer.
I'm using earbuds with this thing that's hanging off the side, so it might be me. So I'll just pull out one side. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you. All right, so this guy lives upstairs.
So anyway.
I'll go shave, that's it. Yeah.
Shave, that's right, everybody. I want everybody to shave. No, that's all right. It'll kill the show. So the guy lives upstairs, Mike. Uh-oh, I lost everybody.
Is everybody there? It got very quiet.
I'm losing everybody.
All right.
Yeah, Mike, continue your story.
Breaking up.
Ow. I'm hearing lots of buzzing.
Yeah, this is weird.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to continue.
Yeah, he was living upstairs, right? So he doesn't.
Yeah, no, his apartment is literally upstairs from the bar. So he doesn't have far to travel to go to sleep, but he never makes it. You know, he'll sleep on his stool rather than going up the stairs to his bed. And one night, he ended up falling out of the stool. And he falls head first into a piece of bubble gum on the floor. So then now he's got a piece of bubble gum stuck in his hair. And, you know, it was a mess. You know, if you ever had bubble gum in your hair, it's a disaster. And so he ended up having to cut the hair that it was embedded in the front of his head. And so he comes in the next day. And at first, you know, I kind of said to him, oh, you know, you go into a new barber. It looked like a stylish new hairdo he had. You know, and he didn't have to tell me this story. There were no witnesses to him falling headfirst into the bubble gum. But he felt like, you know, it was so absurd, I guess, that he had to share it, you know, because then you took another look at the haircut and it wasn't so stylish. It looked like he did some crazy butchering himself, which is what he did. And he had like a bit of a monkish look. Somebody was comparing him to Captain Kangaroo. Not very flattering remarks. The hair's starting to grow back in. But, you know, I think if I was in his position, I don't think I would have shared that story with anybody. You know, and it's, you know, I guess somewhat courageous that he would admit to something so embarrassing. I mean, I've admitted to my share of embarrassing things, but I don't know. That one, I think I would have restrained myself.
But some people just want attention regardless of the kind of attention it is.
Yes, no, I agree.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I've had people tell me stories about things that they've done, and when you're feeling like totally humiliated, they laugh, like they get a kick out of
it. Well, no, I mean,
reaction.
Yeah, no, humiliating stories are funny, generally, you know? Because usually it's, you know, sort of, you're talking about something you did dumb to yourself. I mean, the ones where you're humiliating somebody else are a little cruel, you know, that's not as funny. But if it's a story about yourself, I mean, I think, yeah, generally you can get a pretty good laugh with, you know, an embarrassing anecdote.
Does anybody have any embarrassing anecdotes they want to share with us?
Everybody got very quiet.
Well, they were all.
I've never been embarrassed, ever.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, and entirely true.
Although that could be bad. That could be like not feeling pain, and then, you know, then you don't know when you're hurting yourself.
Yeah, but if you don't know, I mean, that's a whole tree and forest thing again, Fredericks, you know? If I don't know that I'm bleeding to death, am I really bleeding to death?
Yes.
Yes.
I think people would concur, yes, you are bleeding to death. You just wouldn't know what was happening to you. That doesn't seem very comforting.
So what were we originally talking about?
What's that?
So we were talking about wieners, and now we're talking about titties, and I don't even know.
When were we talking about wieners? I don't remember that, Mike.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that either.
I don't know.
I think that was the wrong Skype conversation, pal.
That was my boyfriend. I'm really sorry. He's playing a game. That was hilarious.
Sorry for you, too.
Does he want to talk about wieners? Is that his thing?
Well, come on. If he wants to bring it in that direction, he can. It was just a bad joke.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I'm dying. That was hilarious.
And I thought we were going to have a rousing conversation about hot dogs, so, you know. I choose the innocent interpretation.
I thought we were talking about politicians.
Well, there you go, yes. Or dachshunds.
I suppose, yes, it could have been. That isn't what popped to mind. But I think we had been talking about cyberspace, so, you know, wiener could have been incorporated into the conversation. Never mind at this point.
So,
Petey?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you some questions? I'm just, like, you're on my mind a lot lately, because I've been, I've been going through the Best Show archive. How did you get to call in there? I mean, you were a kid. Like, how did you start calling?
I think the first thing I did on WPU was, there was the WPU message board back in the day, and I used to, post some love stories about Andy and Ken, Andy Breckman and Ken Freeman. So I think everybody hated me at that point. And then I started to prank call Tom. And then eventually me and Tom became friends, I guess. So
did you call 7 Second Life first? They really hated
it? Yeah, I think I called him a few times. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think
I remember before I was a fan. Before I was a fan of the Best Show, I listened to the John Benjamin call with you, where he has the voice modulator. And I had no idea what Best Show was. It was on the Home Movies DVD. That was like the funniest thing I've ever heard. Yeah.
So he made fun of my handshake once, though.
What did he say?
He said that's a very manly handshake, sarcastically.
I called him once for Todd Barry and got made fun of profusely, to the point that Tom messaged me privately afterwards and was like, I hope you didn't take offense. I was like, no, I'm a fan of Todd Barry.
So what was the Benjamin guy's handshake like, Pete?
It was very, very strong. Very strong and manly.
Manly. How old were you when you shook his hand?
I don't know, like 13 or something.
And why would your handshake have been manly at that age?
I don't know.
Was John really small, too?
Huh?
Isn't John, like, really short?
He's, like, 2 inches below me, so it wasn't a huge deal.
Okay.
I don't think women have the same experience with handshakes that guys do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with guys, it's like, yeah, there's the grip, but then there's also whether your hand is calloused or not, whether you have soft hands. But yeah, you get into, like, you know, a little competition, like, is your grip firm enough? Is your hand not so soft? I mean, I've got
that's
soft
so hands.
What's that?
I said that's weird.
Well, I'm just telling you, some things guys do are weird, you know?
No, and that is quite accurate, too.
And the thing is, that the handshake is actually, I'm a handshake guy. And the handshake is sort of becoming a thing in the past. Now everybody hugs each other, you know. And I'm not comfortable with the hugging. And, you know, a lot of times I found myself in the presence of huggers, and I'm like, you know, doing the hug thing. You know, you don't want to be like antisocial, but I would just as well like to do the handshake thing. But then with the handshake thing, it's a competition with guys. You know, is your hand rough enough? Are you firm enough? And
yeah,
what did
you
do, the Harry Sundell fist bump?
Yeah, that's right. Fist bumps are big nowadays, too.
And yeah, fist bumps, I think, already came and went, though.
No, I still do them every day.
Yeah, you can fist bump every day?
Even by himself.
All right. Actually, fist bumps are probably preferable. Yeah, they're not as competitive.
No, and if you think about it.
They could be.
I think they're more hygienic, too.
Yeah, they are.
Way more hygienic than a hug.
What about a handshake with a hug combined?
Yeah, that's awkward. That's awkward.
That's scary, yeah.
I'm going to do that to you next time I see you, Mike.
That's too much.
You got people doing that to you?
I did that to Tom.
You did a handshake into a hug?
Yes, sir.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he started.
You're proud of it.
Well, you probably just wanted to shake his hand.
No, Tom, I wanted the hug.
Oh, you wanted... No, Tom's a hugger.
Oh, well, then it worked out fine, then.
Yeah. And here's some behind-the-scenes thing.
Okay.
And I didn't think it was awkward, but I think Tom may have thought it was awkward. Like, I didn't shake Tom's hand when I came onto the show, you know? But at the end of the night, I would shake his hand, you know, like, good show. You know, it was sort of like, that was the parting gesture.
Yeah.
But then occasionally, if it was like a special occasion, we would hug it out.
Oh.
Because Tom is more of a hugger than I am.
Oh,
but there were, like, there were different times when we would hug it out, you know?
Tell us about the kissing.
What's that?
Tell us about the kissing.
No kissing.
None of the shows were that good.
Hormod's busting my balls as usual. He's my little personal ball buster, I've noticed.
Yeah, that's
right. Right. Well, you know, hey, he's got his right, you know?
He's Mini Mike.
He's Mini Mike. But then he's like a real sentimental guy, you know, once you get to know him. And, yeah, now I'm on a kissing basis with him, you know, which is, I think he's the only guy who kisses me right now.
If you had a song, Fredericks, you would sing it in the morning.
I would.
You'd sing it in the evening.
I need to get
all over this land. You'd sing out Danger. You would sing out
Warning.
Yes.
You would sing out Love to Your Brothers to Draw Up This Land.
I try every day.
Okay, that's enough.
All right, folks, I'm gonna end the call now.
All right.
Well, this seems like a good time to end the call. Thanks again to everybody who joined us.